Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome. I'm your host today, Mike Keyes. Today, we're going to have a conversation with Richard Weikert, who is a professor of history at California State University, Stanislaus. He is the author of an award-winning dissertation about socialist Darwinism that became a book by that title in 1999, and he's written a number of other books, as well as published a big series of articles in refereed journals in the history of science and ideas, such as ISIS and the Journal for the History of Ideas. In fact, one of his articles received a prize, the Selma Forkosk Prize, for the best article in 1993 in the journal History of Ideas. But the book that is of particular interest for today's topic of Darwinism and racism is his book, From Darwin to Hitler. And the subtitle is very important, Evolutionary Ethics, Eugenics, and Racism in Germany, published in 2004. In fact, there's a website by the title of darwintohitler.com. That's darwintohitler.com. And there you can find information about the book and also other works by Professor Weikert. Richard, thanks for joining me today for this conversation.
Yeah, it's great to be with you.
So there was recently an email conversation that I was kind of lurking on, and I've looked at it some more, where some folks interested in the history of ideas, particularly Darwinism and racism, had a discussion. And you mentioned a book review that you recently authored, and I went and took a look at that review. It's published in the journal MetaScience, which is a leading journal for, well, reviewing books about the history of science and its social and political context, as well as books about the philosophy of science. So let's just start by talking about this book review, and we can get into other related issues about Darwinism and racism. But the book that you reviewed is authored by Michael Ruse, and it's entitled The Problem of War, Darwinism, Christianity, and Their Battle to Understand Human Conflict. Just came out with Oxford Press. So tell us just a bit about Michael Ruse. I mean, I've been at conferences with him before, so I'm familiar with him. He's a influential academic, but he's more of a philosopher of science than a historian of science, although he does both. How would you sort of characterize Michael Ruse and his influence, Richard?
Yeah, he is one of the more influential philosophers of science writing about Darwinism today. And in this particular book, he is taking on a more historical slant than philosophical. He starts philosophizing sort of toward the end, actually in a very surprising way, I think. But the problems with his historical presentation are pretty major in that he tries to map out different positions that Darwinists on the one hand and Christians on the other hand have taken in relation to war. But he simply ignores many of the ways that both sides have done this. So he tries to basically present Darwinism as interestingly, he presents Darwinism as being a religion. He actually uses that terminology and argues for that. And actually, I was kind of puzzled, though, because I thought when he first was taking this approach of claiming that Darwinism has become a religion, I thought he was earlier, you know, I mean, he's been taking this position for a couple decades now. This is not a new position for him, arguing that Darwinism is a religion. But I had kind of thought in the past that his argument there was to try to warn Darwinists against taking on Darwinism as a religion and sort of trying to, you know, maintain the scientific approach, which Ruse obviously embraces.
Right. So, Richard, you're saying that his history of his own use of this argument was more, hey, let's cleanly separate Darwinism as a science versus Darwinism as a kind of a religious ideology. And you're saying that you were surprised by how in this most recent book, he seems to not keep those as separate as he had in the past.
Yeah, especially the final chapter. In the final chapter, I mean, he actually comes out and lays out his own position, which is basically taking on a religious position in Darwin. So where I thought he was trying to distance himself from Darwinism as a religion, it seems in this book that he's embracing that. So that kind of surprised me.
Okay, let's leave the actual surprise to the end. But as we work toward that, Ruse in his book, and I read your review, it's an excellent review, And I've read quite a bit of Bruce myself earlier, including this thesis about Darwinism as a religion. But in this particular book, as you know, Bruce is tackling a more specific subject, and that is how do Darwinists and how do Christians, or how have they historically interpreted war? Like, what causes it? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it, or can you even say good or bad? You know, that sort of thing. So how does Bruce sort of set up the problem at the beginning of his book, and how does he get going to address the problem?
Well, he basically argues that Darwinism has maintained two basic points in relation to war. The first point is that they see war as having been advantageous in the past because it's produced biological progress, thus leading up to the origins of humanity. But on the other hand, he claims that for the present time, most Darwinists see war as being negative in its effects because it is dysgenic, that is, it destroys those who are most highly developed and such. And he thinks that, and most Darwinists, he claims, believe that we can overcome war through cultural effects.
Of course, it's pretty obvious. People in general, when we're talking rationally with one another, we want to say, well, we're against war, we're against destroying life. And of course, it makes sense that people would generally not want war. But of course, there's also cases where obviously people have wanted war, and wars have come about. But as we look at Darwinism as a theory, Roos does analyze Darwinism as a scientific theory and the claims it makes, and then tries to assess those as to whether it implies that war is something that naturally comes from our evolutionary past or not. So how does he present his case? How does he make his case look persuasive before you critique it? Like, what is he trying to do here?
Well, he basically points out that Darwin himself, as well as a whole host of other Darwinists, and Roos does have a lot of examples that he gives of people who take this position, even though, on the one hand, the scientific theory is non-progressive, that is, it doesn't promote progress or teleology. On the other hand, Roos believes that Darwinism as a religion, and he believes that most Darwinists do embrace it as a religion, does see Darwinism as producing progress. And so he sets up this dichotomy between Darwinian religion, which sees human progress, and part of that human progress is the ability to overcome war. And then he sets that up in contradistinction to Christianity, which he claims the primary position is the just war theory. He plays very heavily on Augustinian just war theory. And he believes that they don't believe in progress because they believe humans are locked into a position of original sin.
So what are some of the books about this topic of science, Darwinism, and war that you think are important? And does Roos interact with them, or does he ignore them?
Well, the one book that Roos does interact with, and Roos even actually claims he thinks it's one of the best books about Darwinism, is Paul Crook's book about Darwinism, War, and History, which I believe is actually also fairly slanted. But Roos doesn't interact with a lot of other books dealing with, and that's where his history becomes problematic, because he ignores a lot of not only primary literature, he ignores a lot of the secondary literature. So, for example, Mike Hawkins' book, Social Darwinism in European and American Thought, it's one of the most important books that's come out on social Darwinism in the last couple of decades, and Roos doesn't even cite it, doesn't mention it, and Hawkins takes a position quite different from Roos. Hawkins believes that social Darwinism is an important force and that many Darwinists were militaristic in their thinking. Roos is trying to see the sort of more pacifistic side of the Darwinists over the past 150 to 200 years.
So you would expect a scholar to interact with the secondary sources, both pro and con to the argument that one is making. Secondary sources, of course, meaning books by other historians, not the primary
right
authors of the time. So you're saying Roos does interact with some of these secondary sources, but selectively, only the ones that line up with his position, and ignores the others, and of course ignores the arguments and evidence that the opposing books give.
Yeah, and he ignores my own work as well, even though he does cite my book, From Darwin to Hitler. I really doubt that he read the book based on what he says about it. And he mentions also Daniel Gassman's work. He cites it at one point, although he actually doesn't cite the most important work that Gassman wrote. He called The Scientific Origins of National Socialism. He doesn't cite that work, which is Gassman's most important work. And even though there's problems with Gassman's work, he apparently doesn't understand Gassman's position either. So even some of the works that he cites, he doesn't understand or cite them properly, and he doesn't interact with the actual arguments that they make.
Okay, let's pick up on the primary sources in our next conversation, Richard. Primary sources being, of course, those works written by the people of the time period under consideration, so 18th, 19th centuries, that sort of thing. Let's pick up on that in our next conversation, but thanks for joining us for this first episode on Darwinism and Racism, Richard.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm Mike Keyes, and you were listening to ID the Future. Join us again for another conversation about Darwinism and racism.
From jumping insects with real gears to the strange world of carnivorous plants, the details of the natural world reveal planning and purpose. In his new book, Foresight, Brazilian scientist Marcos Eberlin shows how the mantis shrimp can pack a deadly punch and how a tiny protein in a bird's eye may work just like a GPS. You can join Marcos Eberlin as he uncovers a myriad of artful solutions to major engineering problems in chemistry and biology. Find out how these solutions point beyond blind evolution and point instead to the designing ability of a mind, and a mind with foresight. Order on Amazon or visit DiscoveryInstitutePress.com to get your own copy of the book Foresight. Get Eberlin's new book from Amazon or at DiscoveryInstitutePress.com/foresight.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.